Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A community on edge after dozens of bullets fly in a Triangle neighborhood. What we've learned about the violent morning.
Plus, the European Union orders Meta to pay a record fine over data privacy rules.
And Carolina Hurricanes take on the Florida Panthers tonight on the road. Game three of the Eastern Conference Final. And the team is working hard to get that first W of this series. A Durham family is counting their blessings unharmed after they say 43 bullets were shot into their home. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The sheriff's office is investigating the shooting, which happened on Dodge Avenue in the northeast part of Durham County. WRAL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger talked with a woman who lives in the house.
She was not ready to go on TV yet, so we spoke off camera. She told me that one of the bullets missed her 78-year-old mother by 1 inch. It is pretty unbelievable that 43 bullets hit the home, according to the family, and miraculously, none of the seven people there at the time were hurt. The woman told me bullets also hit cars parked in their driveway and that this happened around 4 a.m. WRAL was there early this morning as the Durham Sheriff's Office launched its investigation. A spokesperson for the office says this does not appear to be a random incident, but that spokesperson did not elaborate beyond that. I have asked about any suspects and if anyone is in custody. When I hear anything, I'll let you all know. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News, Durham.
And today we expect federal investigators to provide an update on two plane crashes that happened just hours apart. The first one happened in Orange County near Rougemont. 2.5 hours later, another plane crash happened about 50 miles away in Warren County. The Federal Aviation Administration tells us it's a single-engine Beechcraft 35. It landed in the woods off NC 157 in Rougemont. The pilot was the only person on board, and that person died. No word on the person's name or plane's flight plan. And just over 50 miles away in Warren County, another plane crash sent a person to the hospital with severe burns. That crash happened around 2:45 yesterday afternoon. The FAA says the single-engine Cessna 182 crashed while it departed the Nokarva Airport in Macon. That person's name has not been released.
A Harnett County deputy indicted in a crash that killed a husband and wife was supposed to appear in court today. His attorney showed up instead to hear the charges against her client, Deputy Kevin Letarte. WRAL's Ken Smith is here now with what happened in court. Ken.
Renee, Brian and Patricia Finch were here in North Carolina visiting friends when that crash happened that took their lives. Deputy Kevin Letarte faces two counts of involuntary manslaughter in the death of the Minnesota couple. He's been on administrative leave since that crash. Sky 5 was over that scene back in March when Deputy Letarte was involved in a pursuit. Witnesses say Letarte's siren and lights were on when he drove through that intersection on Highway 210 near Spring Lake. The State Highway Patrol estimates he was going about 95 miles per hour. Witnesses also told investigators it appears Brian and Patricia Finch never saw the speeding deputy. The couple left behind children and grandchildren. They'd been married 8 years. An attorney representing the Finch family says a wrongful death lawsuit is possible. In court this morning, Deputy Letarte's next court date is set for July 17th. Manette.
Ken, thanks for that update. The woman linked to a case of suspected road rage on NC State Centennial campus is scheduled to be in court this week. Court records show 31-year-old Julia Johnson is scheduled to appear before a judge Thursday. University police accused Johnson of intentionally hitting a person on a motorcycle twice with her car on April 25th. She was arrested several days later. Johnson faces charges including aggravated assault, reckless driving, as well as hit and run.
Thousands of North Carolina kids struggle with reading, and experts say it's because a lot of them have been taught bad habits. About 2 in 5 third graders aren't meeting state standards for reading. 3 in 5 fourth graders don't meet federal standards. That's leading to changes in North Carolina classrooms. WRAL's Education Insider has been digging into this issue, and for the full story and for ways parents can help their kids build reading skills, visit the education section of WRAL.com. Governor Roy Cooper will give a speech about education this afternoon, and in it, he will ask voters to contact their lawmakers about Republican proposals he says will cripple education in North Carolina. One bill will give taxpayers money to every family to send their child to private school, even if they're wealthy. Another bill would cut state income taxes by nearly half over the next few years while giving teachers very small raises. A third would give state lawmakers, not education experts, the power to set the curriculum for public schools. Cooper's veto can now be overridden, so he's trying to raise public opposition to the proposals.
The nation's critical debt ceiling is set to expire at the end of the month. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen tells NBC News that early June is a hard deadline for the U.S. to pay its bills. NBC's Ryan Nobles reports President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy will meet today at the White House to try and reach a compromise.
A high-stakes showdown in Washington expected today at the White House between President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy as the clock ticks down toward a default deadline.
We've got to be able to solve this problem.
The two will meet face-to-face without other congressional leaders after what was described as a productive call on Sunday. Biden sounding optimistic returning from the G7 summit. At the summit, the president insisting defaults is off the table.
I've done my part. We put forward a proposal to cut spending by more than $1 trillion. Now it's time for the other side to move.
As well as revisiting, invoking the 14th Amendment to raise the debt ceiling alone.
I think we have the authority.
Though Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen cast doubts on the idea Sunday and also reinforced that June 1st date as the deadline for an agreement.
I certainly haven't changed my assessment, so I think that that's a hard deadline.
The clock is ticking for a bipartisan compromise. Throughout negotiations, Republicans have demanded to curb overall spending and pressing on extending Trump-era tax cuts that could add over $3 trillion to the debt. Proposals, the president says, are unacceptable.
It's time for Republicans to accept that there is no bipartisan deal to be made solely on their partisan terms.
That was NBC's Ryan Nobles reporting. Republicans have been seeking spending cuts in the federal budget in exchange for their support to raise the nation's borrowing limit.
Facebook's parent company, Meta, has been hit with a record $1.3 billion privacy fine by the European Union. Amy Kellogg explains the reason for the fine.
The European Union is going after Meta's money. The parent company of Facebook and Instagram hit with a $1.3 billion fine by EU regulators for violating user privacy. That's a new record, almost doubling the $746 million fine handed down to Amazon back in 2021 for similar violations. The European Commission says they're hoping to send a message with this decision.
What we said, that we want to bring back legal certainty, clarity, with this decision. I think this is also why we have taken the time necessary to negotiate it and to prepare it.
At the heart of the dispute, the cultural clash between the U.S. and EU over how personal user data is handled. Europe has strict laws governing online privacy. It claims big tech exploits a loophole in those laws by shipping data from its European users across the Atlantic. Now both Amazon and Meta have been ordered to stop doing that, though it's unclear if today's announcement will have a major impact. Meta is vowing to appeal the fine, and it's now in the process of asking courts to put the decision on hold. But the EU claims this is a big step forward and sets a standard of conduct for the future.
The safeguards that we have negotiated with the United States address the issues that were specifically identified by the Court of Justice.
That was Amy Kellogg reporting. Meta had previously warned that its services for European users could be cut off if a deal with regulators isn't reached.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott officially announced he is running for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024. He made the announcement earlier at his alma mater, Southern South Carolina University. He is the only black Republican. And in the announcement, he balanced his faith and his family's story with attacks on President Biden's record, saying, "I am living proof that America is the land of opportunity, not a land of oppression." He does join an already crowded field. It already includes President former Donald Trump, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, among others. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to announce his bid for president later this week.
Thanks, Michelle. This evening, you can weigh in on how your tax dollars are spent in Durham. County commissioners are holding a public hearing on the county manager's proposed budget. It includes a 3-cent property tax increase. The budget also recommends a 7% pay raise for all Durham County employees with additional merit-based pay hikes. There's also nearly $11 million in new funding for public schools. Tonight's meeting begins at 7, and a final vote is set for next month.
The Carolina Hurricanes are facing a huge uphill climb in the Eastern Conference final. Game 3 is tonight in Florida, and the Canes need to win at least one game on the road to stay in the series. The Canes lost both games 1 and 2 in overtime at PNC Arena. Coach Rod Brendamore says he doesn't expect to make many changes, but bounces need to go the Canes' way. Puck drop for tonight's game in Florida is at 8 on TNT. WRL's Casey Hintz and Pat Welter are in Florida for coverage of Game 3 tonight and Game 4 on Wednesday. Right after tonight's game, WRL has the exclusive post-game show. See all the key plays, hear reaction from players and fans, and get our sports team's analysis on where the series stands heading into Game 4.
Meantime, next at noon, it's a big week at Fort Bragg. All-American Week is underway, and Gilbert Bays is all over it. The events and what it means to the soldiers.
Also, DoorDash is getting dinged, accused of charging people with iPhones more than those with Androids. The reason behind a class action lawsuit.
Plus, an update on resources being sent to Ukraine by Western allies. The strings attached to the latest deal. Elizabeth.
Nice weather on the way. We do have high thin cloud cover out there right now, but nothing's going to stop the sunshine from bringing us some pretty weather for the next several days. I will show you when rain is back in the forecast coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Welcome back. You're looking live at Beaufort as we take you out to the coast. Cloudy skies there. It will be a popular destination for this holiday weekend. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. All-American Week is underway at Fort Bragg. The week-long celebration gives paratroopers a chance to celebrate their service and remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. WRL's Gilbert Bays was on post bright and early for the kickoff.
Well, All-American Week is a tradition here at Fort Bragg. It started back in 1986. It starts with a 4-mile run down Long Street.
This is an All-American party. 18,000 paratroopers pounding the pavement along Long Street. It's how the 82nd Airborne Division kicks off All-American Week.
I look at these flat-bellied, barrel-chested men and women, and I'm impressed. They always remind me that our best generation is still yet to come.
I got an up-close and personal view of the 4-mile run aboard my Elliptico. This event is special for Jim Boyer. He came all the way from California to celebrate it with his son.
I did manage to find my son, who's a company commander of D4, as they ran by, which I didn't really expect given the mass of humanity out there representing all of us and doing their part for the free world.
This year, All-American Week honors the 40th anniversary of the division's role during the nation's invasion of Grenada in 1983. It's also a chance to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Serving as a paratrooper brings an incredible spirit to corps and camaraderie, much of it forged on the battlefield.
We never forget, and there's something about when everybody just comes back and you relive all those old memories, all those old friendships that never really went away.
So the running is just one part of it. Now all these paratroopers will be participating in sports competition, trying to win the Commander's Trophy. At Fort Bragg, Gilbert Bays, WRAL News.
2, 1, engines full power. And liftoff, Falcon 9, go Axiom.
Yeah, the Houston-based company launched the mission from Kennedy Space Center yesterday. It is led by former NASA astronaut Peggy Whitson, making her the first woman to command a private space mission. The crew also includes two Saudi astronauts who will be the first from their country to visit the ISS. In April last year, SpaceX blasted off the first all-private astronaut team ever launched to the ISS. Blue Origin and its partners scored a huge victory in the space race to Mars. The company owned by Jeff Bezos will develop a moon lander for NASA. NASA will use a lander created by Blue Origin's team for its Artemis exploration program. The vehicle would transport astronauts from an orbiting craft to the surface of the moon on a future mission. The new contract is worth $3.4 billion. No human has set foot on the moon since the final Apollo mission more than 50 years ago. Europe's most active volcano erupted on Sunday, raining ash on eastern Sicily's largest city. Mount Etna's eruption temporarily shut down the airport. In early 2021, an eruption of Mount Etna lasted several weeks. Geologists are monitoring the volcano, but cloud cover is making it difficult to do that. No injuries have been reported. The Ocracoke Express is getting back on the water. The ferry's summer schedule will begin tomorrow. This will be the fifth season of the ferry service between Hatteras and Ocracoke Islands. It can carry up to 129 passengers on each of its three daily round trips.
Tonight, Lester Holt brings you a special edition of NBC Nightly News. He's taking the broadcast on the road, returning to Fort Myers Beach, Florida, where he brought you live coverage from Hurricane Ian. Tonight, Lester examines the lasting impacts of Ian and what some insurance companies are accused of doing to homeowners trying to rebuild. Plus, Lester revisits with residents he first met after the storm hit for an inspiring look at how they're doing now. That's right here at 6:30 after WRL News at 6. And Hurricane Ian hit Florida at the end of September 2022 as a strong Category 4, and Florida, so much of it was just devastated by that hurricane.
Yeah, we have a little activity in the tropics now as well. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a pretty serene look there behind you.
Yeah, it's beautiful right here at Lake Gaston. Today's likely to be the warmest day that we see for the next 7 days, so I know it's a Monday, but you know, if you have the day off, the time off, or you know, even can get out on the lake this evening, enjoy it. We're going to see plenty of sunshine all the way through Friday, but then over the weekend, you know, just in time for the big holiday, Memorial Day weekend, it looks like we're going to have at least some rain in the forecast. 77 is our current temperature, and our dew point is a very comfortable 54. It's pretty out there. There is some high thin cloud cover right now, but it's not going to stop it from feeling nice today. We'll see highs climbing up to 82 at around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Right now, it's 78 in Fayetteville, 75 in Southern Pines, 76 in Goldsboro, 77 in Rocky Mount, and a cooler 72 up in Roxboro. Here's a look at the big picture. We have a high pressure system that's sitting up to our north and west, and there is some rain down to the south along the Gulf Coast and into Florida. This high pressure system will continue to settle down closer to North Carolina, acting as a blocker for all this precipitation to the south. So we stay nice and dry, at least up until Friday. And this high rotating clockwise is also feeding down some cool air, so our temperatures will stay very comfortable. The blue color contoured areas are where temperatures are below normal, and in yellow, their temperatures are above normal. And of course, those temperatures depending on exactly where you are. But watch this. We have some much colder air that comes dropping out on us starting again, say Wednesday and Thursday, and that may stay with us over the weekend. The thing about that is it may happen because of some rain that we see, especially Saturday. Around town today, 82 in Raleigh, looking at 81 in Durham, 83 in Fayetteville, and just a beautiful afternoon. And notice the dew point. The dew point stays in the 50s, which you can see is right there in the comfy zone. Just for reference, when it's really sticky in July and August, our dew points are usually in the 70s. And so this feels very comfortable. Nothing like summer. We even get a reinforcing shot of some even drier air, less humid air that comes in by the time we get to Thursday. Watch this front. Watch what happens behind it. We get that push of even drier air, keeping things feeling very pleasant for us. 81 is our normal high. We're close to that today, but then we're in the mid to upper 80s all the way through Friday. 73 on Friday. Friday may actually be even a little bit cooler. And we have the potential to continue to see these below normal. normal temperatures all the way through the end of the month. And the 31st is next Wednesday. So for at least another week, our temperatures should stay at least a little bit below normal. By this time of year, we're typically seeing 90 degree days. The normal first 90 degree day that we see every year at RDU happens around May 11th. And of course, we've blown past that. The latest on record, June 27th. I doubt that we'll be able to wait until June 27th. It would be nice, wouldn't it? We'll talk more about that in a bit. First of all, let's check out Saturday and Sunday. We have at least a 40% chance of showers and storms on Saturday. I'll walk you through it with Futurecast coming up in just a bit.
Elizabeth, thanks. This week, sports betting is back on the agenda at the state capitol. The bill would legalize online sports gambling statewide. Ahead at 4, what's next for the bill and when it could reach the Senate floor.
Electric cars, semiconductors, and a whole lot of jobs. Huge developments from VinFast and Wolfspeed will bring major growth to Chatham County. How that's impacting the area's taxes, that's ahead at 5:30. Still ahead this noon, a federal agency is working to protect Americans as more companies turn to AI for hiring. The red flags the EEOC is urging companies to keep in mind.
Plus, DoorDash faces a potential class action lawsuit for its pricing system. How the theory was tested after the break. It is 12:23 as we take a live look at Dorothea Dix Park in Raleigh. Temperatures feeling very pleasant. We'll get into the low 80s today. There's a new number one at the box office, and Target is recalling millions of candles. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Target is recalling nearly 5 million candles due to concerns they could cause burns and other safety hazards. The candles are in glass jars sold under the Threshold brand. They were sold in Target stores and on the retailer's website from August 2019 through March of this year. Target has received 137 reports of the candle jars cracking or breaking, and 6 injuries such as lacerations and burns have been reported. The retailer will issue a full refund for the candles. Instagram is getting ready to launch a competitor to Twitter. Bloomberg reports the text-based app will be released this summer, possibly as early as next month. Instagram parent Meta has been testing the app with creators. It's also been contacting celebrities to gauge their interest in trying an earlier version of the product. The app will be tied to Instagram with usernames and verifications carried over to the new platform. The latest Fast and Furious movie raced to the top spot at the weekend box office. The 10th installment in the Fast franchise rang up more than 67 million in ticket sales. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was second with almost 33 million, and the Super Mario Brothers movie pulled in another 9.7 million to finish in third place. Mario is the biggest movie of the year with more than 1.2 billion in ticket sales worldwide. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
DoorDash is being accused of charging iPhone users more than Android users. A proposed class action lawsuit claims DoorDash charges an expanded range fee to iPhone users, but Android users who order the same items don't get that fee. The theory was tested by the same order sent to the same house by an iPhone and Android phone. The lawsuit says the extra charges are because those who use iPhones may earn more money in general than Android users.
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is taking action to prevent artificial intelligence from fostering discrimination in the workplace. The federal agency released a document to help employers assess any possible negative impacts of software, algorithms, and artificial intelligence that are being used in the hiring process. Employers are increasingly using automated systems, including those with artificial intelligence, to select new employees and to determine pay and promotions. Fewer workers are willing to move for a new job. A career coaching firm notes the rate of workers moving for a new job dropped to a record low 1.6% in the first quarter of this year. That's the lowest quarterly result the firm has seen since 1986. Factors include hybrid and remote positions, high home prices, and mortgage rates.
The man accused of killing 4 University of Idaho students is due in court today. What we expect to hear from Brian Koberger coming up.
And another treatment option is on the way for women going through menopause. The drug the FDA just approved and how it works to treat menopause symptoms. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shh. shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news this noon. Brian Koberger is the man accused of brutally stabbing to death four University of Idaho students. He just appeared in court and entered a not guilty plea. He was indicted on murder charges last week by a grand jury. NBC's Gotti Schwartz has late details.
This morning, accused killer Brian Koberger will make his first court appearance since being indicted by a grand jury on four murder charges. A spokesperson for the court says the process should be quick.
This is basically procedural around advisory of rights, entry of plea, possibly bond.
Koberger is expected to enter his plea today. He said through a previous defense attorney he believes he'll be exonerated. The indictment comes 6 months after the shocking killings of four college students, Zanna Kernodal, Ethan Chapin, Kaylee Gonzalez, and Madison Mogan, in their shared home near the University of Idaho campus. Maddie Mogan would have turned 22 this week.
I want people to remember Maddie as just being a loving, caring, just beautiful person who everybody just misses so much.
According to court documents, DNA traced to Koberger was found on a knife sheath at the crime scene. And in a recent Dateline exclusive, a source with inside knowledge of the investigation says detectives have found evidence that several months before the murders, Koberger went on Amazon to buy a K-bar knife and sheath. Greg Cooper, a retired FBI profiler who has studied killers of multiple victims, sharing his theory.
He's been thinking about committing crimes for a long time.
With that knife?
Absolutely. He has to become familiar with it, feel at ease with it.
The Dateline report highlighting another disturbing incident. A source recounting that Koberger befriended a woman in his graduate criminology cohort who, after finding things amiss inside her apartment, called Koberger for help. The source says Koberger volunteered to install a video security system himself.
After the installation, our source says, police believe Koberger, if he was close enough to the woman's apartment, could pull up the cameras himself for a look, because Koberger knew the woman's Wi-Fi password.
The source adding that Koberger is now considered a strong suspect in the break-in, though he has not been charged in connection with the incident. Meanwhile, Kaylee Gonzalez's family looking toward the trial.
If this individual is the right one, then he picked the wrong family. We're ready for this case.
As President Zelensky attended the G7 summit in Japan over the weekend, Russian military says it had completely taken the key city of Bakhmut in eastern Ukraine. NBC's Molly Hunter reports from Kharkiv.
When Ukrainian President Zelensky returns back to Ukraine after a very successful, a triumphant trip, really, out of the country, of course, at the G7 in Hiroshima, Japan, he comes back with a promise of $375 million in U.S. military aid and also the promise of an international coalition of F-16 fighter jets, of course, something he has long been after. The one real clarification that President Biden made over the weekend about that commitment for the F-16s is President Zelensky assured the American president that they would not be used in Russian territory. They would only be used in Ukraine or in Russian-occupied places in Ukraine. That was a key line. But President Zelensky comes back after a very busy weekend in Bakhmut. Russian forces have claimed full control over that city. The most powerful commander, Ukrainian commander in that area, has actually admitted that Ukrainian forces, while they are still going around the flanks of that city, they have lost control of the main part of the city. This is the deadliest battle so far of this war. The military casualties on both sides run in the tens of thousands. But Ukrainian commanders have long said that the whole goal for Bakhmut, again, it is not a particularly strategic town or city, I should say, 80,000 people lived there before the war. It is not a particularly strategic city for either side, but the goal has been to pin down as many Russian forces in a protracted battle, which allows the Ukrainian military in other parts of the country to rearm, partly with these new Western weapons, and to organize and prepare for a counteroffensive. Molly Hunter, NBC News, Kharkiv.
A fire at a school dormitory in Guyana has killed at least 20 people and injured several more. Right now, it's unknown if the victims were students, teachers, or other members of staff. Five planes were sent to the area with medical supplies to help. A celebration of Asian American and Pacific Islander heritage in Durham attracted hundreds of people. The cultural festival took place at Durham Central Park. This year's theme was Common Roots. People enjoyed food trucks, live cultural performances, and a vendor's market.
We were very pleased with it.
There's a lot of different cultures represented, a lot of art, a lot of music and food, and it's been really fun.
I enjoyed the henna, the dancing, the boba, and this vegetable head bun.
My daughter and I enjoyed some dumplings and some Laotian food, all really good. The festival wrapped up last night.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Carolina Hurricanes are looking for a win tonight in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals after dropping the last two games in overtime. We did speak to head coach Rod Brind'Amour down in Florida about tonight's game. Take a listen.
I can't ask more out of these guys. It's just got to be a little sharper. We got to be a little better, obviously.
And puck drop for tonight's game is in Florida. It's 8 o'clock on TNT, and WREL's Casey Hintz and Pat Welter, they are there for coverage of Game 3 tonight and then Game 4 on Wednesday. Right after tonight's game, WREL has the exclusive post-game show as well. See all the highlights, reaction from players and fans, and get our sports team's analysis on where the series stands heading into Game 4. Again, tonight's game, puck drop at 8 o'clock in Florida.
Thanks, Michelle. Start 'em young. Why the Red Cross says preschoolers can and should start learning CPR.
And Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur has been hard at work in a whole new way. Why she's taking on the challenge of ballroom dancing and when you can see her perform. AAA says this may be the third busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since 2000. The travel service is sharing some ways to help ease travel miseries. If you plan to drive, leave as early in the morning as possible. AAA advises the worst time to be on the road is Friday between 3 and 6 p.m. If you're traveling by air, expect packed airports and have backup plans in place. Finally, be patient and kind during travel. Today is the official start of North Carolina's Memorial Day Click It or Ticket campaign. That means more law enforcement on the roads. Memorial Day weekend is one of the deadliest times on North Carolina roads. The goal is to get everyone to wear their seatbelts. State and local officials reinforce this message at an event this morning aboard the USS North Carolina Battleship Memorial in Wilmington. Click It or Ticket runs through June 4th.
ACC baseball tournament is all set for the Durham Bulls Athletic Park this week, and all the action begins tomorrow. 12 ACC teams take part in the tournament. It starts off with pool play. Each team plays every other team in its pool, and then the team with the best record in each pool advances to a four-team single elimination tournament starting Saturday. Wake Forest is the number one overall seed in Pool A. UNC is in Pool B with Virginia and Georgia Tech. NC State and Duke are both in Pool D with Miami. So as that tournament is set, happening at the DBAP, as we said, tomorrow UNC plays Georgia Tech at 3 p.m., and right after that, NC State will play Duke.
You've heard about Dancing with the Stars, but what about Dancing with the Carolina Stars? We're just days away from this year's event. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur will be participating. The event benefits the Carolina Theater. This year's contestants include elected officials, veterans of the stage, and prominent business owners, not to mention many professional dancers. Ballroom dancing champion Dave Therrell says donating his time to the cause is an honor.
And to get back to a theater that gives back to the Durham Public School, gives back to the community, is just an honor to do it. And it's a no-brainer.
And Keely makes it look like a no-brainer. She's so natural at it. Dancing with the Carolina Stars happens Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Carolina Theater in Durham. Tickets are still available at carolinatheater.org.
Any amount of walking that gets you up and out of your chair is a step in the right direction.
Coming up, the benefits you can experience from as little as a 15-minute stroll.
Plus, it's not something we want to think about, but as the weather heats up, the number of drownings will also increase. Coming up, how you can keep your family safe around water. Your risk of premature death decreases as your daily step count increases. To figure out your step goal, start by quantifying how many steps you get in a typical week and then increase your daily average by 500. Once you hit that new number regularly for about a week, add another 500.
Higher step counts have been associated with a lower risk of things like sleep apnea, reflux, and depression. But even a 15-minute stroll can help improve your mood, reduce stress, and help you sleep better.
As with most aspects of living a longer, higher quality life, staying fit may help reduce brain disease risk to help maintain cognitive strength.
Help is on the way for women in menopause dealing with hot flashes. The FDA just approved Veozah to help women deal with menopausal symptoms such as hot flashes, sweating, and chills. The medication targets brain connections that help control body temperature. A one-month supply of Veozah costs $550 before insurance coverage. Children as young as 4 years old can start to learn basic life-saving skills. The American Heart Association is urging parents and schools to teach kids as young as four how to administer CPR. The organization says with routine training, by the time children reach 10 years old, is that they may be able to administer effective chest compression while performing CPR.
It could take just a few seconds for someone you know to drown. Health experts say now is the time to address water safety issues with your loved ones before it's too late. Anita Vogel takes a look at what you can do to help prevent drowning accidents this season.
Memorial Day marks the unofficial start of summer, which means it's almost time to break out the grills and soak up the sun. But with temperatures starting to rise and more people planning trips to pools, lakes, and oceans, it's also the perfect time to talk about water safety, especially with young children.
Every day in the United States, 11 people drown. And within that group, ages 1 to 4, it's actually the leading cause of death for children.
And while not all drowning accidents result in death, survivors can be left with severe brain and nerve damage, which can result in permanent disabilities. William Ramos of Indiana University recommends parents enroll their kids in swim lessons as a good first line of defense.
Look for one that, one, tries to get your child or attempts to get the child to a level that we call water competency. That's a point where we think people have enough skill to save themselves if they found themselves in trouble.
Ann says it's critical those lessons don't just teach kids how to swim, but also how to minimize their risks in the water.
By the time somebody has to use their swimming skills to save themselves, there may have been a series of missteps involving water safety along the way.
That was Anita Vogel reporting. Even if you go to a facility with a lifeguard on duty, parents should stay alert. It is a nerve-wracking time, no question, especially with little ones.
Yeah, and really important to raise that awareness as we approach the holiday weekend. Lots of folks going to the beach. But then it's also the weekend where a lot of pools start opening. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
And you know, things are going to feel pretty nice for that, especially today. Today's going to be the warmest day of the week with the highs in the low 80s. But we don't really have real summer heat and humidity in our forecast anytime soon. We do have the potential for some rain over the weekend. Right now, it looks like it would be focused on Saturday, but we'll get, you know, new runs of the computer models in every few hours between now and Saturday. So just keep checking back. Kat's going to have a new look. Kat and Michael have a new look at what's happening this evening, but I'll show you the very latest that we have. Tracking the tropics, we have a disturbance that's near the Bahamas right now. It doesn't look like it's going to amount to much, but we'll take a look at it anyway. This is a look across Wake County. We're in eastern Wake County, looking off to the west, and you can see it looks hazy out there. We still have some lingering moisture around the area, a little bit of cloud cover that is surging northward from this system that's well to our south. High pressure will continue to slide southward and keep the rain down to our south, but there is some cloud cover that's moving across our area today. We do have some storms and some rain possible for Memorial Day weekend. It may begin late Friday. Right now, the models are turning pretty dry on Saturday, on Friday, but then Saturday, a coastal low moves up to the Wilmington area and starts to spread rain westward across the state. We may end up bumping up this 40% chance to something higher as we get new information coming in the next 48 hours or so. Sunday, looking at just a chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 79. Here's a look at our forecast as we get through Friday. This is Friday morning at 6 a.m. At 5 p.m., we're still looking fairly dry, but we're going to watch the approach of this rain. It's possible that if it moves in a little earlier, we could start to see some of that later. late on Friday. This is 5 p.m. Saturday. So during the day Saturday, it begins to spread across the area. This is Sunday at 8 a.m. Some of it will start to wrap around late Sunday. Right now, Sunday is looking pretty good. That's the newer run of the model. And then maybe just an isolated shower or thunderstorm later on Monday. So it could be that it's just Saturday for the most part with a very small chance of a late day storm on Monday. And Sunday looks good, and most of Friday does too. That's the way it looks right now. Of course, again, that could change as we get new information coming in. So keep checking back. Our tropical outlook, we have a disturbance sitting here just to the east of the Bahamas. It only has a 10% chance of developing. But as far as I can remember, it is the first one that we've seen this season. Taking a look at the 7-day forecast, 82 for today. And then our highs are in the 70s for the next 7 days. Our overnight lows will be pleasantly cool in the 50s like they were this morning. It may be even cooler than that as we get into early next week. Look at that, 46 degrees for next Monday morning. Again, we will continue to watch the forecast over the weekend. I know a lot of people do have outdoor plans for any day over the weekend, so we'll let you know how things are shaping up.
Today being the only 80-degree day of the week, and we're in May. That's something. You know the saying, the show must go on. We'll show you the impressive way a violinist handled the moment his bow broke apart during a solo on stage.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The Durham County Sheriff's Office is investigating after a family says someone shot at their home more than 40 times. That family says none of the seven people inside was hurt. A spokesperson for the sheriff's office says this does not appear to be a random act, but did not elaborate beyond that.
A Harnett County deputy indicted in a crash that killed a husband and wife was supposed to appear in court today. His attorney showed up instead to hear the charges against her client, Deputy Kevin Letard. He was chasing another car when he crashed into the couple's car. The judge set his next court date for July 17th.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott has joined the 2024 presidential race. The Republican made the announcement in the last 90 minutes. He joins a large group of GOP lawmakers looking to knock off former President Donald Trump, who holds a commanding lead in Republican primary polls.
An incredible creation is now on display at the home of Lego. Take a look at this full-scale Ferrari made of Lego bricks. The car was constructed with the help of Ferrari designers, took nearly a year to complete. It features close to 400,000 Lego bricks and weighs nearly 3,000 pounds. The only non-Lego parts are the four wheels and the steering wheel. The model was built in the Czech Republic, then shipped to Denmark for a special reveal.
A violinist is going viral for his performance after his bow broke during a concert solo. Just like that, the Bournemouth Symphony in England, when he was playing in the UK, a premiere of a forgotten violin concerto by a Ukrainian composer. And soloist Stefan Jakiv was front and center when about a quarter of the way into his solo, his bow broke. The music pauses, the concertmaster hands him another bow, and within seconds, he resumes. The bow is nearly 200 years old, and in the 20 years Jakiv has had it, it's never broken.
And at first, I didn't exactly know what happened because it's just such a foreign thing. I knew that the bow basically disintegrated in my hands, but took a couple seconds to realize what was going on.
And he made a quick recovery. Once off stage, he contacted a master bow maker in New York who specializes in restoring older bows, and the expert restored that bow, and Jakiv plans to keep on using it.
He almost looked amused when it happened, but such composure. Super impressive. Our pet of the day is one cool cat. Meet Crank from Safe Haven for Cats. Crank describes this sweet man's meow, not his disposition. The staff and volunteers believe Crank is the ideal solo kitty. He's a gray tabby, domestic short hair, nearly 3 years old. You can see profiles for Crank, along with the profiles of other cats, ready for adoption at safehavenforcats.org.
Such a mean name for a cute kitten. Who will walk away champion? Today at 4:30, we're looking at the remaining five contenders ahead of tonight's season 23 of NBC's The Voice.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Enjoy the beautiful weather out there today.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.